I don't normally play back interviews we've recorded, but that was the only way we could visit with Dave Barry this week. And it was a fun conversation. Thanks for joining us. I got to say, I really enjoyed your book. What a weird story.
Wait, you actually read the book?
I did. I read it last night and today. And I normally... It's funny because I normally only read nonfiction. And so my son goes, what are you reading? And I showed him the cover of this thing. And he looked at me like, who are you? Swamp Story, a novel with an alligator sticking his head out of the water by Dave Barry in splashy colors. This is not the sort of thing I normally read.
Well, that's the sort of thing I normally write either. So we got that in common.
So describe the story for us. What's your elevator pitch here?
Okay, basically, it's Miami meets the Everglades. The swamp is the Everglades. And I live in Miami. I moved there in 1986 from the United States. And it is a strange place, Miami. And the Everglades is a strange place. I mean, there's obviously exotic wildlife out there, but there are also exotic people out there. So anyway, this is a kind of a madcap book where lots of things come together. Snakes, alligators, politicians. At one point, there's a time-traveling chiropractor. and madcap antics ensue, as we say in the fiction world.
And much alcohol and marijuana and some loser dudes who decide to make a viral video about a melon man or some sort of monster. And lo and behold, it goes viral and their fortunes explode, right?
Yes, these guys are, as you say, complete losers and not particularly bright. They're making their situation worse by consuming a tremendous amount of drugs, which doesn't help at all with the planning. But somehow, against all odds, they succeed in creating this creature, which is really a drunk ex-newspaper man wearing a Dora the Explorer costume head. They make this creature viral using TikTok, which is, I'm sure you know, an app that was invented by China to prevent the United States from ever doing anything productive ever again. You know, they're over there making like television sets and computers, and we're over here looking at videos of dogs and so
exactly and cats. I've had that observation before in various ways. You know, they're coming up with chips and rocket ships, and we're doing craft beers and cat videos. We need to be aware of that.
Yeah. And I mean, it's still working out so far. Like, we can enjoy our phones and our stuff. Maybe down the road, we're going to wish we had made a few things too. But, you know, for now, it's fun. We got the craft beer.
But there is a sort of pivotal point in your book midway through where you do describe how, so these knuckle-chucks, the one guy has a costume on, he goes to a kid's party, things go badly, so then he's got this silly costume, and the other guy goes, hey, I know, let's make a viral video, and you'll be like the melon monster in the swamp, and they go, okay, and so they make this stupid video so badly that it's either very real or very sophisticated, pranky, nobody knows, but a influencer finds it on the internet. It explodes, and I thought that was a very real sort of description of how nuttiness can happen on the internet, and people can gain almost overnight fame. You know, the next day, 4 million views on TikTok, right?
Exactly right, and what got me into this was, you know, I already was into the story using elements from, you know, little visits to the Everglades and some real-life things, but what really got me going was my daughter, who's 23, and a perfectly intelligent person, yeah. Well, you know, gainfully employed, all that. But she likes TikTok, and she will show me these things, and there'll be some ridiculous thing, and it'll have 23 million views. And I realize one person with a camera, yeah. You know, if things happen just right, become internationally famous overnight because of this weird social media phenomenon. So I really wanted that to be in there. And you're right, that is sort of what galvanizes the plot, is when suddenly these complete loser stoners go from complete loser stoners to international influencers, basically just because of luck.
You know, it does say something about human beings or society, too. I don't know if you want to get too deep into it, that these are people who are providing no real value to society, and yet we reward them or we spend time on them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's gotten harder and harder. Like, I'm an old person, so in my mind, there always should be some connection between fame and talent. You know, yeah. There should be some identifiable reason why people are famous, but that has disappeared. That is just no longer remotely valid in any field, in music, in theater, in art. It's something, the fame thing is just completely separated from anything you would call a talent or a particular artistic skill.
Yeah, I guess novelty or likability is a new kind of currency. But so if that's kind of the pivot point for the book, it still doesn't explain how you came up with the idea for this ridiculous plot. Can you just walk it back and tell me, when did you go, okay, I know, and then we'll do this, and then what was your storyboard in your head on this?
Okay, it started with what we call the Python Challenge, which a lot of people think I made that up, and I didn't. It's a contest that the state of Florida runs every year for 10 years or so now, where basically the state invites anybody who wants to come to Florida and kill the Burmese pythons, which are these gigantic snakes that are taking over the Everglades and have no natural enemies. What happened was, initially, these were pets. People had them as pets, and then these people ran out of crack and realized they were living with giant carnivorous snakes, so they let them go. And they love Florida, so they have no natural enemies. There's hundreds of thousands of them out there. Hmm. I just love the idea we have these people who come down, and they're the kind of people who would be attracted by a snake-killing contest. Just come and go out into the Everglades looking for these gigantic snakes in a competition format. And I knew from the very beginning that I wanted that kind of climactic scene of the book to involve the Python Challenge in some way. So basically, I bring these stoner losers with their imaginary creature together with the Python Challenge. There's also a couple of criminals looking for a lost gold treasure that's out in the Everglades. And there are legends of that being real.
I wondered. Well, so that's the Python appears at the beginning and the end of the book, and that's maybe all we need to say about the plot. It's just fun. It's surprisingly violent in some places when you talk about the the criminals, and you can almost smell the alcohol and marijuana in the pages. And I wonder if you were trying to say something else. Alcohol has plagued your family. Was that something that you were you trying to humanize that or explain that, or why was that such a central part of your characters?
Yeah, the main character, one of the main characters, is a guy named Phil, who's a guy I relate to. He's an older newspaper guy who has a serious drinking problem. And as you say, I've had alcoholism in my family. I've seen what it can do. So I wanted there to be a redemption story somewhere in there for Phil, who is kind of battered all the way through the book. Yeah, that was the part when I wrote there's a couple of scenes involving him and drinking where I was really on the edge of not thinking funny at all, just, quite emotional. But I did want to talk about that in the book.
Well, at the end, when his daughter, again, I don't want to reveal too much of the plot, but when she confronts him, I thought, this must sound so familiar to so many people. I almost cried. I could feel you in some of those pages.
Well, I was crying when I wrote that scene, the one I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. It's a, by the way, fun book. Wait, now let's go back to the normal Dave Barry stuff.
Yeah.
We're trying to sell some books here, damn it.
It's a wacky romp.
Okay, one last thing then. I could not help thinking about this as a movie. And at times I thought, it'll just be a silly movie. It could be Cocaine Bear, or no, it's Coen Brothers. It's got dark edges to it. Were you thinking about it in those terms at all when you wrote the book?
Only in the sense that when I write books, I tend to think visually and with comedy, you're looking for setups and punchlines. So in that sense, yeah, it has been optioned as a movie. Whether it ever actually gets made is another issue, but there's a possibility, and I hope it does get made into a movie.
I'll buy tickets, and I've enjoyed the book. It's called Swamp Story, the latest novel by Pulitzer Prize winner Dave Barry. Okay, Dave, nice to talk to you. Congratulations. Thanks for giving us some of your time today.
And yeah, thank you, and thanks for having actually read the book. That's really very nice.
Well, that's what you do. That's the deal. You write the book, we read the book. You come on the show.
A lot of people don't know about this deal.
Yeah, a lot of hosts don't. It's nice to talk to you, Dave. Take care.
Yeah, same here. Take care.
Bye now. So his Swamp Story is called Swamp Story, and it's an easy, fun read.